How many times have we vowed to exercise more, eat better, maybe get more sleep? Or how many times have we promised to pray more consistently, to practice certain virtues, or to spend time gazing upon Jesus on the cross in adoration or upon the divine mercy image? And yet when it comes to put these commitments, these pledges into action, sometimes something within us just freezes up, resists, or something or someone is always distracting us from that commitment. And before long, we've abandoned the commitment. We've lost hope. We find ourselves frustrated, depressed, overwhelmed, sometimes even completely lost. Now, the gospel for the second Sunday of Easter, Divine Mercy Sunday, is John 20, 19 to 31. And so I'm going to make the assumption that we've already committed to, we've done Mass and received Holy Eucharist. And the story is a tension between hope and disbelief. And for me, during the week, we also kind of went back to Mary Magdalene's story. So it's kind of bookended. Thomas's disbelief, won't believe unless I see it, to Mary Magdalene sitting outside the tomb in complete sorrow. The apostles in the upper room, hiding from the Jews, thinking they're next. It is that moment of complete despair and loss of hope that they are feeling. Mary, in her deep sorrow outside the tomb, all she wanted to do was anoint the body, and it was gone. The apostles, who've already ran one time, when it really came down to it, after they all pledged, "Oh yes, Lord, I will go right there with you." And they disappeared, and now they're hiding in the upper room. And then when Thomas is brought, I mean, Jesus has revealed himself three times already. After the first times, some of them decided, well, let's just go fishing. It's over. Let's go back to what we know how to do, fish. And now Jesus manages to enter into the upper room, even though the doors are locked, and greets them with peace. Twice. Peace. Unfortunately, Thomas wasn't there the first time. And he's one of those guys that it's like, I got to see it to believe it. And when he did see it, he understood the response, because it's a rush of belief that is my Lord and my God. And when people gaze upon the image of Jesus crucified, what do they see? What do they feel? There are many Christians that would prefer to have that gruesome image removed from the cross, because we're going to worship a risen Christ. But the Paschal mystery doesn't work that way. Let there be no doubt that the resurrection of Jesus is the most important event in the history of the world. Yet, the journey to resurrection was the passion, the suffering caused by our sins. Jesus willing to take all of our sins. And when you really think about that, it's huge. But he willingly took them on himself. And then there had to be the death and burial, where there is going to be a moment of time. Even Jesus felt that moment of time on the cross. My God, why have you abandoned me? We know that feeling sometimes. It creeps up because we're humans. We're weak. We're not perfect. Sister Faustina, as we heard in today's reading, regularly immersed herself in the passion of Jesus. And Jesus gave her the grace to not only experience the passion, but it brought him great thought that in the midst of that terrible torment, that someone understood and felt what he was feeling. That they were able to join their miserable selves, their wretchedness, and connect it to his Sacred Heart. Rejected by so many. Jesus has all these graces that he's always trying to outpour upon us, but they're rejected because we haven't put ourselves fully in trust of him. She remained faithful despite all that she's endured, despite all that Jesus allowed her to endure. Comforted occasionally by our Blessed Mother to say, your time is soon. Endure all things with love. Trust completely in Jesus. And so it seems fitting today that the diary of Sister Faustina begins with these words. Paragraph number one, O eternal love, your command, your sacred image to be painted. The sacred image. Why? Why? Appearing to this simple nun in 1931, why command the image to be painted? N.T. Wright, an English New Testament scholar in his book, Why Christianity Makes Sense, writes this. You become like what you worship. When you gaze in awe, admiration or wonder at something or someone, you begin to take on that something, the something of the character of the objects of which you worship. Images are important. And what N.T. Wright describes that rings so true is what we gaze upon, we become. Think how much time and how many times, how many images we gaze upon during our everyday lives. Some of them that distract us from the things we should be gazing upon. We are bombarded with these images, many of which distort and distract us from remembering and practicing the virtues that will draw us closer to God. This gazing upon Christ and receiving his gaze back changes us. It transforms us bit by bit, healing our hearts and enabling us to entrust our lives to him. And yet, there's so much more. Jesus told Sister Faustina, my daughter, if I demand through you that people revere my mercy, you should be the first to distinguish yourself by this confidence in my mercy. And therefore, I demand from you deeds of mercy, which are to arise out of love for me. You are to show mercy to your neighbors always and everywhere. You must not shrink from this or try to excuse or absolve you from it. And so he gave her three ways of exercising mercy towards your neighbor. The first, by deed, not by words. He said, first, by deeds. We have to love. So many times parents will come to me and say, my children, they're driving me nuts. And my only response can be, love them anyways. They're going to walk down their path as young adults when they get to make their own decisions. Love them anyways. That is the path. That act of love is the path back to Christ. If you planted the seed, it's there. It may take somebody else to water that seed. We're called to love. The second is by word, and the third by prayer. First and foremost, it's by our deeds, our acts of love. And I know that there's plenty of people out there that drive us crazy, that push us over the edge. We get beside ourselves. We are called to love and endure. That's our many crosses that we get to carry every single day. It's in these three degrees is contained the fullness of mercy. And it is unquestionable proof of love of me. And by this means, a soul glorifies and pays reverence to my mercy. Our gazing upon these images, all of these images, the cross with the corpus on it, the Easter light, the exposed body of Christ that we believe he is truly present with us, and the image of divine mercy. All these images have the power to transform our lives. God, this is the bottom line, God is love itself. His greatest attribute is mercy, divine mercy. Divine mercy is being. It is a being, Jesus. It is a being Eucharist to others, for our families, for our communities, for the world. And when we contemplate, when we gaze upon divine mercy, it must be through the lens of the Paschal mystery. We were doing the Divine Mercy Novena all week here at Mary Queen of the Universe, and I couldn't help myself but finding myself, as I was before the image, to notice his feet. Of all the things, I'm focusing on his feet. For 9 days, I gazed upon his feet, and the detail that was put into this image that came from Sister Faustina. And one of the things that really stood out is the wounds in his feet. We are called to be the hands, the feet, and the heart of Jesus in this world. So many people are looking for something to grab onto, to give them hope, to give them purpose. That's what you have. That's why you're here, so that you can be fully immersed in this mercy and carry it out there into the world, so that they know that God does exist and that they are beloved children of Him. Divine mercy is about being. It's about being humble. It's about being obedient. It's about forgiving, being compassionate, simple, or little, as St. Therese would say. And it's being love to your neighbor. Divine mercy is about having the courage to ask for and to live the graces Jesus desires to pour out on us. Us, poor souls. Gaze upon the image. See the wounds and exclaim with Thomas, "My Lord and my God." Come to Jesus that you may bask in his rays and love and mercy itself.